with one beautiful shloka from the letter written by Swamiji to his brother disciple Swami Ramakrishnanandaji that conveys in few words his ideas on Vedanta and its application in day-to-day life, even for a monk. In the initial stage when Mylapore Ramakrishna Math was started, it was not so easy to run the center. Lots of difficulties were faced. And Shashi Maharaj used to have this one difficulty. He will go for lectures and there will be no audience. He has spoken many times to empty halls. Once in such a desperate mood, he wrote a letter to Swamiji. And in his own inimitable styles, with the trumpet blast of Vedanta, Swamiji wrote a letter in the form of a poem. Two shlokas I will quote from them. And that gives us the message of spirituality in day-to-day life, in the Ramakrishna Vivekananda way. The first shloka comes like this. Kurmas tarakas charvanam tribhuvanam utpatayamo balat kimbhona vijanami asmad Ramakrishna dasa vayam. We shall munch the stars of the heaven, pulverize the mountains to pieces. The whole universe will be unhinged by us. Don't you know who we are? Ramakrishna dasa vayam. We are the servants of Bhagavan Sri Ramakrishna. That came like a powerful bullet to Shashi Maharaj. Because Sri Ramakrishna never liked this desperate mind. In Belur Mutt, I saw written in a box where we have pan supari. After food, many of the monks will take little supari. It is called mukshuddhi, mouth freshener. And there, this message of Sri Ramakrishna was written. Thakur heena bhav pachanda kortenna. Sri Ramakrishna never liked this disheartened feeling, mentally let down by oneself. This is the first shloka. Kurmas tarakas charavanam, we shall munch the stars of the heaven. Tribhuvanam utpatayamo bhalat, the whole universe we will unhinge. Kimbhona vijanami asmad Ramakrishna dasa vayam. I am the servant, the slave of Ramakrishna, so what I cannot do in this world? There's a beautiful shloka regarding Hanuman also like this. Asadhya sadhaka swamin asadhyam tava kim vada ramaduta kripa sindho mat karyam sadaya prabho. So Hanuman was reincarnated as Swami Vivekananda, and the message of strength as the part of spiritual practice comes as the first advice to his brother disciple Shashi Maharaj. And second shloka is really a tremendous motivational verse. And that shows us how Swamiji in the modern age put the ancient, age-old Vedantic ideas very, very suitable for the modern man to grasp it. Kim nama rodishi sakhe tvai sarva shaktihi amantrayasva bhagavan bhagadam swarupam trailokhyametadakilam tava padamule. Oh, that is the mighty message of Upanishads. Kim nama rodishi sakhe, why do you weep, my friend? All power is already inside you. Call for the infinite divinity which is inside and the world shall be at your feet. Atmaivahi prabhavate na jada kadachit. It's Atman that alone triumphs, wins, abides, never the matter. So this teaching of Vedanta, whereas part of Indian culture in the Indian educational system, we lost that glorious message and the whole of the nation fell down. So today we'll be talking about these few ideas of Swami Vivekananda on the real nature of man. And that is a real spiritual quest, the Brahma Jignyasa, who am I? We lost faith in ourselves. And that was one of the great curse India ever had. You may believe in 333 crores of gods and every new god that the Britishers may invent. Unless you have faith in yourself, there is no gati moksha, no way for salvation. The old religions called him an atheist who didn't believe in God. I call him an atheist who does not believe in himself. So these ideas Swamiji put in the shloka. Kim naam rodishi sake, why do you weep, my friend? Amantrayasva Bhagavan Bhagadam Swarupam, you are the mightiest God that ever lived. So call for the infinite power inside and the world shall be at your feet. So calling for the infinite power, that is the way we seek God. Go on calling upon God and bring out the infinite power. So today we will see some of these ideas related to this. Otherwise, there could be no reason why believing in God, the whole nation fell down. Why we are so morose, why we are so depressed. Despondency is not religion, my brother. By being pleasant and happy, it takes you more near to God than any prayers can. Swamiji says, what a beautiful statement, is it not? Wiping of the tears, the defeats, and all the casualties of life assert the real nature. You are the Atman, the reservoir of infinite power, joy, strength, and love. But the way we lead our life, the education in the society, the atmosphere in the house, and the breeze blowing throughout the nation makes us, teaches us, constantly conditions us to believe that we are weak. Weak we are born, with weakness we live, and in weakness we die. But Swamiji says, strength is life, weakness is death, constant strain and misery. Truth will make you strong. Hold on to that truth which is already inside you. Who you, the Atman, the reservoir of infinite energy, power, knowledge, love. So the human nature, so glorious, we started worshipping God, and in the process, we put down the man. We started glorifying God when the living God was inside, and all the external gods, they became the God to be adored. And men, human beings, were overlooked. Every time we look at ourselves, whenever I go to colleges, in schools, that intelligent-looking girl, when I point the finger, all the girls turn behind. That smart-looking boy, all the boys invariably turn behind. I told that boy with the red shirt, again he will look behind as if he is not smart, and all others are smart. The ingrained innate feeling which has been injected by the society, the process of education, makes us feel so weak. So much of cowardice has entered in us. And in the name of humility, in the name of respecting elders, how weak, how petty, how small we have become, is it not? It was this daredevil message of Vedanta that entered Swamiji, who was a Saptarishi. And it was he who took the message when so many elders, so many big people were in India. What positive arrogance and haughtiness Swamiji had. I have a message to the West, as Buddha had a message to the East. What guts, what feeling he must have had. And that comes, he says, from the realization that you are the Atman, the light within the self, the infinite consciousness which is never born and never dies. He says, this only must be taught from the very birth, nay, before the child is born. So that is the Indian system of personality development. Even when the child is in the fetus, mother goes on singing these Vedantic songs. In the cradle, she sings, Tvamasi Niranjanam. There was a great queen, Madalasa. She went on singing, you are that Tvamasi Niranjanam, the pure, the infinite, the immortal one. And before they reached their age, everyone renounced because they understood their real nature. They are the source of infinite power, knowledge, and joy. They are immortal. They are the king of this universe. But in our case, as if the whole of nature is conspiring to put us down, is it not? And we go on running behind hundreds and hundreds of gods, new avatars, new prophets, new saints and new sages, vainly thinking that they all will come to our help. Vedanta says, helpless you are born and helpless you live, helpless you are going to die, unless you awaken the power within and believe in yourself. This power is inside us already, but the whole system of life which we have at present denies this glorious nature of the human soul. So today's topic, that you are the full moon, this is a very beautiful phrase, not from Vedanta philosophy, but it reflects the idea of Vedanta, the spiritual message to human being. And this comes from Quran. When I heard this, it sent such a wave of thrill through my body. Oh, one of the men in Shivakashi told, Maharaj, there is a sentence in Quran. That day I gave a talk on Vedanta. Tattvamasi, you are that infinite reservoir of bliss, energy and strength. He came out and he told, there is a catchy phrase in Quran. One day before Amavasya, when moon was waning and he was like a thin line on the sky, he became so desperate, thinking that he is going to die and tomorrow is going to be Amavasya. He started weeping and loudly shouted, oh Father Sky, what is going to happen to me tomorrow? Everything is going to end. And the sky patted that thin line of moon, Chaudhvinka Chand. My boy, fear not. You are that full moon. Full moon is already inside you. Tuhi ho Purna Chandrama. Oh, when I heard, this came like a great message of Vedanta. And it's a lovely title. You are the full moon. The glorious, splendorous moon is already inside. Through the process of ups and downs, through the trials and tribulations, the joys and jubilations, the tears and the success and the failures, as we wax and wane, we think we are going to die and Amavasya comes. But in spite of all the repetition of Amavasya, moon shines in all its splendor when Purnima comes, and that is its real nature. Thousands of passing clouds cannot mar the brilliance of the full moon. So is the events of life. However we may fail, however we may stagger, miserably fall down, Vivekananda says, fear not. I bless all my mistakes. It was those mistakes that made me what I am. If not for this mistake, what our lives would be? These blemishes, these errors, these backslidings, they are the oasis in the desert of our life. So this encouraging message comes from Vedanta. Whether you evil or good, whether your nature is violent or brutal, you are first existence, the immortal Atman, then you are good or bad. This goodness, badness and all this vanish like passing clouds and leaves the immortal soul in all its splendor. So if anything has to be taught to the child, that is the bringing up children. All of us know how to give birth to children, but we rarely bring up our children, we rarely rear our children. Hey, don't do that. Hey, don't go there. Something will happen. Hey, be careful. Recently, I had been to somebody's house. Moment the boy was going out, hey, you are going to fall down. I told, let him fall down. What is that? Even after we grow up, we fall down and break our bones, is it not? As if children alone are going to break their bones and elders won't. So this constant idea, instilling fear in the mind, so man has to be uneducated or re-educated. Hundreds of unwanted ideas running riot inside the brain, is it not? And how much we underestimate ourselves. Anybody you go and praise, you will say, no, Swamiji, I am an ordinary person. Oh, you are a wonderful... No, I am an ordinary devotee. Everywhere this sort of inferiority complex has gathered so much of residue in our mind, it seems the splendorous Purna Chandrama will not come out. Is it not? There was a great mullah in Mumbai. He was a man with uncommon common sense. And people used to appreciate him. Though he was not educated, he had an uncommon common sense. He had a donkey, and he was a multitasking donkey. The daytime it will wash, carry the washed clothes, and nighttime it will bark like a watchdog, and sometime when he has to carry on the cart, like the bull, it will pull on the cart, and sometime when he wants to plow, he applied the donkey, and the donkey plowed also like oxen. So it was a multi-talented donkey, and as the years went on, once it occurred to Mullah's mind that he has become old. If I get a young donkey, how much more I can turn out and gather profits from my business? So having decided, he went to the shandy on a Sunday where the animals are brought for sale. He went to auction his pet donkey, and on the stage, the auctioneer, he started. A beautiful, brilliant, multitasking donkey, unprecedented animal. Never have we seen such a one. And as he started praising and glorifying the donkey, the bidding started. 125, 140, 150. And at 180, the bid was clinched. Mullah got his 180 rupees. I'm very happy. And he thought, after some time, I will purchase a young donkey, train him and make him a Harfan Maula. Harfan Maula is a word for one who is jack of all trades. Getting 180 rupees, Mullah was very pleased and satisfied. He went to a nearby tea stall and was taking hot onion pakoda and masala chai. And within few minutes, he heard a call. Most valuable donkey ever found in this world. Never heard of such a donkey. And the glories of donkey was being proclaimed by the seller. And the bidding started. 190, 200, 220. Mullah was hearing, oh, some donkeys, they have escaped my attention. And it seems there are more brilliant and wonderful donkeys than mine. So suddenly again he started glorifying the different attributes and qualities of the donkey, and Mullah's ear stood on its end, and he was wondering, how can such a donkey be trained by anybody other than me? He had such confidence, Mullah Nasruddin, leaving half the cup of tea. Mullah simply ran and shouted as the bidding was going on, 235, 235. Mullah told, 240, 240. He jumped onto the stage and shouted, 240, and the bid was clinched. Mullah took out 240 rupees, gave to him, and then he found it was his own donkey, which he sold for 180 rupees. That is the case with all of us, constantly selling ourselves at a lower bid in the market of life. This is called atavism. In the very process, as the years go by, we start believing that we are low, we are incapable, we can't do this, we can't do that. And thoughts, they govern our life. And Swamiji says, what do you think that you become? If you think you are strong, strong you will become. And if you think you are weak, weak you will become. So we get so bogged down by our own thoughts, our own emotions, that we condition ourselves to the way our thoughts flow. Every time we meet a new situation, the thoughts come up and they say, we are weak, we can't. It is not suitable for you. So the atavism, the theory of atavism is in biology. Those who are biology students or doctors, they may know what is atavism. That is, cows can move their ears and tails. But we are not able to move our ears, is it not? We can move our tongue and the eyelashes. But there was a time, Swamiji says, when we could move all the organs, but because we have not been utilizing it, using it, and we have forgotten it, all of them are staying in a frozen condition in the subconscious mind. We can awaken those powers, and yogis do that. They can control the pulse rate, heartbeat, they can move every muscle of their body. So the whole power is inside. We stopped using it, we forgot using it, and in the process, the whole atavism set in, and we feel we can't do that. But if you watch the events of life, the events going on in this universe, hundreds of things are done in this world. Who invented aeroplane? No. Who went to moon? No. A man like you and me. We constantly forget that great things, great achievements, innovations and discoveries are done by men like you and me only. They believed. And that is the Vedanta's message. Believe. Faith, faith, faith in oneself, faith in God. There was a brahmachari when I was in Vishakhapatnam. At that time, he used to sing in a normal way. But the same brahmachari has become a swami, and when I heard his songs, I was wondering how he developed, with whose help, with whose guidance. Few weeks I have been hearing his songs. I was myself wondering, how could he do that? That means the power was already inside the soul. It is the application and the belief that the power will come out. And that brahmachari is nobody, the swami who is sitting here. I myself was wondering how beautifully he is singing, but I don't know from who, which guru or who was a teacher. But long period in Vishakhapatnam, nobody taught him, but now the very music, very voice and everything, the scale, the shruti, first day when I heard, that is why after Arati I sit wanting to listen to his song. If he had applied more or if any assistance would have been given through a music teacher, perhaps the whole power will come out. Of course, that is not the goal of our life. That is only part of our life. So we don't concentrate on music. Major portion of ours goes to the realization of God. We are not here to become musicians or orators. So the power is inside. Swamiji says, do you believe? And he gives an evidence to that, that power is inside. Educational systems do not take up this theme and inculcate the faith in oneself. He says, what were you before you became this man, the human form before you got it? What were you? Your previous incarnation, what were you? A chimpanzee, is it not? If you can take back this human form and slowly retrograde, our own face will look like a face of a chimpanzee. I got a Facebook mail where the same face, when projected slowly frontward, it looks like a beautiful human face, and slowly as we regress inside, it looks like the face of a chimpanzee. In Thanjavur, there are faces, nearby human faces. Some of the faces looks like parrots' faces. Some faces, human faces, exactly looks like buffalo's face. But we have got hairstyle, specs and other things, so it doesn't appear like a buffalo. Some of the faces look like lions' faces. So once upon a time, what were we? The whole journey started with a unicellular agency called amoeba. From amoeba, we became Adam, the first human being, and Adam rose to become the Atmajnani. Swamiji says, where was the power? It was already involved in amoeba. Slowly it evolved. So this evolution is a spiritual journey. It is the jiva which ultimately is found to be Brahman. Jiva doesn't become Brahman. It is already that. But we have lost the connection. Hundreds of processes which are hypnotized us into the belief that we are this body, we are this mind, has made us believe that we are this changing mortal being. But inside us, there is that gold mine of infinite capabilities. Ranganathan ji used to call this a science of immense possibilities of a human being. Infinite possibilities of a human being. The same power inside us. When you put it on music, it makes a musician out of you. When you put the same energy and power in on mind, it makes a psychologist out of you. When you put the same mind and energy and focus it on matter, it makes a scientist out of you. The same energy, when focused on itself, makes a saint out of you. But the energy, the strength, and the power, all things are inside us. And we refuse to believe, and the habit of not believing in ourselves has set in our mind. This is called atavism. But one can break the prison houses of belief. And that is what Vedanta wants to do for us. Break down those prison walls and emerge out like lions roaring. This is the Vedanta Kesari's roar. The roar that I am that, I am that, I am that. Chidananda Rupa Shivoham, Chidananda Rupa Shivoham. But in the society, the respect, the elders we have to give, the humility they expect from us, and all thing has put down us to such an extent, and we feel only age is a criterion for goodness or godliness. But Dhruva, Prahalada, all those people were neither aged, nor were they anything that the world expects. The very young age, and it was the greatness of our rishis, who never discriminated a human being with the age and the experience. Right at the age of 8 or 9, they called Tattvamasi Shvetaketu. Satyakama was hardly in teens. Nachiketa had hardly crossed 15, but the daringness, the courage, the faith they had in the human nature. But now, if your own daughter tells, Amma, I will take care of my sister's marriage, you will say, hey, we are all there, elders are there, we will take care of it. You are, after all, a small girl, what can you do? And we accept and believe it, is it not? It is not that we should respect or disrespect or dishonor elders, but the ability to stand on our own legs, on the majestic nature of our own self. And this is real education, as Swamiji says. Both in the worldly life as well as in spiritual life, if faith in oneself can be developed, Swamiji says that is the greatest benediction that can be given to a man. From the very childhood, he must be taught that he is the Atman, the immortal soul, in front of whose majestic nature the whole universe pales into insignificance. That is a beautiful message from Vedanta. For that, the inquiry into the real nature of man must be taught. We get identified with the perishable, mortal, changing body and the changing mind. If you take a photograph of yourself, you will find the body constantly changing. A 2-month-old infant, 2-year-old baby, 10-year-old boy, 20-year-old youth, 40-year-old a middle-aged man, and 8-year-old man. The body has constantly changed, is it not? But yet we all say, I am this, I am this. Swamiji says, you cannot be the body because the matter, it's constantly changing. So too is the mind constantly changing. If there is a change in the body and also a change in the mind, who is the unchanging witness to the changing processes going on in your personality? What is that unchanging element? That is because we have read the Vedanta Shastra. There is a correct answer. It has to be first heard upon. Morning we discussed about Shravanam. Simply telling Atman won't do. Along with that word Atman, we have to gather all the information and details. What is meant by Atman? This body and this mind constantly changing. Trains come, trains go. People come, people go. But the railway line and the platform, they don't change. Clouds come and clouds go, but the sky never moves. Similarly, inside us, there is something very precious, something very divine, something very holy. It's never changing. The unchanging part of our personality. Hundreds of scenes pass through the screen, but not one of them touches the screen, which is stationary. There is a fire in the scenery, but after the scenes are over, nothing happens to the screen. There is a great rain in the scenery, but not a drop has touched the screen. So are we untouched by this misery, sorrow, anguish. All our sufferings, all our success, joys, nothing touches us. We are that unchanging eternal reality. We all think when we become 60, after finishing all these things, we will take up. If you want to get this at 60, Upanishadic seers, they say you should have started before 16. Catch them young. When you catch them young, they will bend. But when you catch a bamboo, when it's old, it breaks. So to the youngsters, this message of Vedanta, as well as to the elderly people, as they face the onslaughts of life, I am more important than all events of life. Sukha, dukkha, and all these things will go and come. But I am the king among all these successive events flowing in front of me. So I adore myself. Committing suicide, one of the most tragic part of our life. Falling into depression. Always occupied by a sort of morose mood, depressed mood, unhappy. I am not as successful as others. I am not as good looking like others. I don't have accolades or achievements in my life. Whatever that may be or may not be, I am that supreme reality, the Atman. So all the material accumulations and the wealth of this universe doesn't touch me. Like the splendorous moon, hundreds of things may come and go, but the brilliance is never marred. For that, the Vedanta says, go behind the body and behind the mind, and there you will find the immortal treasure of your own personality. There was a beggar in Andhra Pradesh, in a remote village, and he turned out to be an unusual beggar. He had his own spot fixed because previously his father also was a beggar, so it was a hereditary business. And he turned out to be a very, very unusual beggar, but fellow was utterly foolish. Whenever somebody will pass through the street, he will say, good morning, sir. Namaskaram, sir. And invariably, he made friendship with all the villagers. And whenever young students and others will go, good luck, today is your examination, is it not? And on the right day, he will say, sir, happy birthday to you. So people were so pleased with him, and funds started flowing. And he has accumulated all those things. But he forgot that before his death, the father had given him one small cover. Inside there was a slip of paper in which it was written, whenever you are in crisis, go 2 feet below. He simply saw it and simply kept it. Whenever you are in danger, whenever you are in crisis, go 2 feet below. And after a few years, he died. A natural death like an ordinary, mediocre man. But the people were so impressed with his behavior, they thought, we will build a monument, a bus stop or a bus shelter in his name. And as they were slowly removing all the items, weddings and other things, suddenly they saw a cover and it was written, whenever you are in danger, go 2 feet down. And they could not make out. So they collected some funds because few coins and rupees were there below his pillow. With that, they estimated the bus shelter and the balance amount they started collecting. And in the process, they told, let us start the work and the funds will flow. And as they were going, after the second feet, as they were digging with the pickaxe, suddenly they heard the sound of a metal banging against the pickaxe. They were all surprised and they all came together and slowly removed the earth and they found there was a small metal pot. And on the top of the metal pot, there was a slip of paper with a message, whenever you are in crisis, danger, go 2 feet below. They took out the pot and they found that plenty of gold coins were there, which were sufficient to build the monument for the dead beggar. That will stop the collection. It is sufficient, and we can conduct the function also with these funds. And as they were rejoicing, a sannyasi was passing through that lane. They thought he's a man of wisdom, and they told Swami, we got two covers. One was below the pillow of this beggar. He was an unusual beggar. And one, as we went on digging, we got this pot. And sannyasi, who had the power of intuition, he told, oh, it is nothing. The father, who had become a rich man, had very intelligently concealed his wealth below, because a beggar cannot open a bank account, nor does he have a room where he can have a treasury box and save this money. So he had kept it buried. So whenever there was a need, he can dig it and take it out. So the same message was here. He should have gone 2 feet below, 2 feet inside. And as they were very, very happy, the sannyasi patted on one of the leaders of that group. He told, my dear son, this is the message for life. Whenever you are in crisis, whenever you are in danger, always go 2 feet inside, beyond the body and the mind. There is an infinite reservoir of power, energy, knowledge, and joy. But you all failed. Like that beggar, we are all beggars sitting on the heap of a gold mine. We go on begging. We pray to this God, that God. Which God ever came to your help? Hundreds and hundreds of gods in India. We were slaves again and again with any country and any invader who trampled us under his feet. What happened to these gods and goddesses? Whatever may be the mythological or philosophical explanation we can give, the reality stares on our face, is it not? So playing the blame game is not the way out. The Vedanta says, you already are that. Amantrayasva Bhagavan Bhagadam Swarupam Trailokyametadakilam Tavapada Mule. Jesudas, M.S. Subbalakshmi, Mandalini, Srinivas, and Sachin Tendulkar, they all brought the power from inside out. The same thing was done by all the 16 disciples. When Swami Brahmanandaji was in Vrindavan doing hard tapasya, someone asked, Sri Guru Maharaj has already given all that to you, is it not? Brahmanji smiled and told, yes, he has given all that was his, but I have to make it my own by my realization. What a beautiful statement, is it not? This is what Krishna says, Uddhare Dātmanātmānam Nātmānam Avasādaye. The whole society is there to put us down. The whole universe is there to put us down. Is it not? So you yourself don't put yourself down. And Krishna says, Nātmānam avasādayet, ātmaivahi ātmanā bandhu, ātmaivahi ripurātmanaha. Moment you deny that you are that infinite power of, reservoir of power and energy, that you are the Atman, all the atheism starts. And you go on seeking the help from others. You have lost the power of your individuality. The question comes, if there is a giant sleeping inside us, or if there is really a giant inside us having infinite power, knowledge, as Swamiji says, you can do anything and everything. All power is inside you. Sometimes it looks like a mockery, especially when we face the events of our life. But without preparation, it will look like a mockery. There is fire in the matchstick, butter in the curd. But simply going near a curd vessel and shouting, hello, Mr. Butter, come on, it doesn't come out. One has to churn the butter. So the infinite energy and power, it has to come out by our churning. But the gate valve has been closed because we have not accepted that this power is inside us. Nor do we believe it. Because the failures and other things in our life, in the life of others, it makes us firmly convinced that we are not that. We are this body. We are born, we will have disease, we will decay and we will die. And hundreds of explanations making us a fatalist. Swamiji says, he is a real religious spiritual man who puts forth tremendous perseverance like Vishwamitra. What perseverance! What adventurous boldness! He brought the Trishankur Swarga. thinking out of the box. This is what is called in the professional language, thinking out of the box. What can I do? Once that belief comes, once that belief takes a firm foothold in our mind, then we find that wonders working in the lives of ours. There's a beautiful Yoga Sutra where Patanjali says, this is the infinite nature of the human being, but why does not the power come out and manifest? He says, the gate wall is closed. The gate wall is opened by understanding our real nature and believing that the power is inside, the energy is inside, the knowledge is inside. The sutra comes out like this. It is a matter of our common experience for us. Nimittam aprayojakam prakriti nam varana bhedastu. The nature, that is our nature, doesn't require an external force to propel us on our onward movement. That is, amoeba had an onward, upward movement. From amoeba it became a fish, then a bird, then an amphibian, and ultimately it became a man. And from man it becomes Superman and divine man, Buddha, Christ, Krishna, Vivekananda. Ultimately we become Atmajnani. That is the end of our journey. So if that power is there, why does it not come out? And he says in the evolutionary theory, not according to Darwin, but according to our yoga and Vedanta, nimittam aprayojakam, an external force or agent is not required at all. That is why most of our guru, they never claim that they give knowledge. Knowledge is already inside you. So what we do is just come as a matchstick. Fire is in the matchstick, guru comes and stands, come on, rub. So we have to rub with the guru, we have to take the churner and churn the curd, and already existing butter comes out. So guru never claims, that is why we don't find the authors for the Upanishads, because truth is already inside, nobody can manufacture or create it. So how can you lay ownership for the truth discovered? In fact, Buddha used to say, I am only reciting the truth. I have not even made it, nor did I manufacture. Truth is ever existing. I saw it and I am just reciting what was existing. Once somebody praised Einstein, oh, what a great invention you have made. Einstein looked at him as if he's looking at a small child and smiled, and he told, I have just found out what is working in the universe, that is all. If I am brilliant, how much more brilliant must be that God who put this law in motion in the universe? There is a piece of glass there, and I told, there is a glass, and you are all glorifying me. I just found out what was existing, but who put that glass there? Who manufactured that glass and put it there? He is the original person, the creator. So that original creator is the Atman, from whom the whole universe has sprung up. And at night as we go to sleep, where does the universe go? It goes inside us, is it not? So the entire universe is inside us. We put our hands in front of the eye and cry that we can't see the sun. Swamiji says, remove the hands that cover your eyes. Don't go on shouting, it is darkness. Bring the lamp, proclaim the glory of your own majestic nature, the Atman, the light within, the consciousness which is ever immortal, undying and unborn. So we don't require an external agency to propel us for our onward or upward movement. Patanjali's sutra is very, very beautiful. This is totally a different evolutionary theory. He says, nimittam aprayojakam prakriti nam varana bhedastu. There is an obstacle, varana bhedaha tataha kshetrikaravat. Kshetrikara means a farmer. Water is full to the brim in the reservoir. We want to irrigate the fields. What we do normally? Everything is ready. Water is full to the brim in the reservoir. The question is very simple, but because I put it, you think it is a very deep question and start thinking deeply. Yes, open the gate wall. It is called Tataha Kshetri Karavat. What the farmer does is simply opens the sluice gate. That is Varana Vedaha. Something is acting as an obstacle. remove the obstacle and the water flows into the fields of our life and there is a great harvest. So this is the Vedantic faith that Swamiji wanted to inculcate in our countrymen. Though we may be shouting, make in India, made in India, and all those things, but unless we get this faith, understanding the innate divine nature of ours, and it should start from the very birth. Because before we teach the knowledge, hundreds of things are acting on this world to make us disbelieve our nature. The whole system we are designing like that. The entire educational system is like that. That is why most of the genius who come out in this world, not one of them have been produced by college campus. Einstein, Newton, Edison, not one of them did this in the college. It is all from their own mind. That is why when Isaac in the 7th standard asked the question, teacher, why does the apple fall down? Teacher became very furious and told, never ask such an arrogant question. It is not at all in our syllabus. Because till Newton discovered, the law of gravitation was not in the syllabus, and teacher became furious, and it was left to Isaac Newton to find out the law of gravitation. And Swamiji says, where was the law of gravitation? Where was it? In the mind of the Newton, if it was existing, everybody, the teacher, could have seen and answered. So Swamiji gives this an example that all knowledge is inside you. Stand up, be bold, take up the responsibility on your own shoulders and know that you are the maker of your own destiny. So Gita also proclaims the same message. So the destiny designing, it is by our own self. So we have two layers through which we express ourselves. One is the body and another is the mind, which is nothing but a flow of thoughts. As our thoughts are, so are we. These thoughts, when repeated, ultimately comes out as action. Action, when repeated, becomes our habit. Habit, when prolonged for a long nature, becomes our character. Character brings destiny. It's a very, very intriguing or very, very simple thing. In our school days, we used to have funny games. And one of the game I found has come very handy to explain this human nature. Habit becoming character, character bringing the destiny. When we were in the 10th standard, we used to invent lots of games. So one game was like this. After every word, you have to make a noise through your tongue. Today, evening, I am going to listen to the class of Swami. So this went on, and in due period, the boys mastered this. But it was only a funny game. But the habit, when prolonged for a long time, one of our friends appeared for the interview in IAS. They asked, do you know where London is? He told, London is on River Thames. And the interviewer, they were wondering, what is happening to this fellow? The answer is correct, but the presentation, the body language and the manners, and ultimately he fared very nicely. He stood first in the written test. So the thought process arising out of our habit, the same thing can be reversed by giving this antidote of Vedanta philosophy. I am pure. I am infinite. I can do anything and everything. In the beginning, there may be few failures. Swami says, undauntedly, if you carry on, you will find one day the voice is ringing with 1,000 thunders. And you yourself will be amazed to see that you were sitting on the heap of gold mine and begging in front of all people, give me this, give me that. But you yourself are the emperor. So this idea that we are the Atman, we are pure, we are infinite, we have no birth and death, must be injected into our mind. There is a lovely story about creation, how God created all the creatures and all the qualities of His, He wanted them to be put in the creature so that they will represent a particular part of His personality. And He assigned this duty to devatas, and devatas are like politicians, you know. Most of these devatas are like politicians. So devatas, they went and distributed all these qualities. God had given them a huge basket, cunningness to jackal, courage to learn, and so many qualities were distributed. And ultimately, when they came to man, they thought, my God, this fellow looks like God himself. If you give some more qualities, it is going to be a risky business. And they swallowed that and came back. And God, who was Antaryami, he asked, have you finished the task? Well, yes, yes, yes. Everybody has got something of my qualities. Well, yes. Have you given anything to man? Oh my God, man, ultimately we forgot. And God could understand the clever political nature of Devadas. He told, I know your nature, but you need not worry. I purposely kept one thing separately for God. And he told, I am going to go and sit in his heart. So Vedanta says, man is the greatest God that ever existed. Not Vedanta, the modern Vedantist, the Vedantacharya Swami Vivekananda with thundering voice. He says, man is the greatest God that ever existed, exists and will exist. I am the worshipper of that God who is called by ignorant as man. If the creation of God is so beautiful, man is the Taj Mahal of creation. If you cannot see God in man, in your own self, where are you going to see God? So proclaim the glorious nature of human soul. As you go on proclaiming the glorious nature of the human soul, the characteristics of our own innate divinity starts reflecting in our life, and we find that both the worldly life and also the spiritual life gets a great shine, great splendor, and all the depressions of life and the negative elements of our life take leave. To Sharachandra, his disciple, he told, my boy, constantly allow this wave that I am the Atman, I am the Atman, spring up in your mind always. Fill your mind 24 hours with the idea that I am the Atman, I am the Atman, I am the Atman. Chidananda Rupa Shivoham, Chidananda Rupa Shivoham. In the West, when one day he was lecturing about this indivisible, infinite nature of the soul, a lady got up and told, Swami, if that is our real nature, infinite, what is going to happen to our individuality? Are we going to lose it? It's so frightening, your Vedanta philosophy. Vivekananda told, madam, you have got me on the wrong side. One day, as the monsoon clouds gathered and the clouds were about to pour the raindrops, one of the drops got frightened. And he told, Father, shouted to the sky, what is going to happen to me? I am going to die. And the father cloud told, no, never. You are going to meet your mother, the ocean, and you are going to become immortal. And the raindrop fell into the ocean, lost its individuality, and gained back the indivisibility of his own nature. Vivekananda says, we are indivisible. Real life is in indivisibility, in infinity. You are infinite. Moment the idea enters into the mind that I am that infinite, fear ceases forever. And Vedanta says, I am terror to terror, I am death to death. Bhayat yasya agnistapati, bhayat chandra suryaha, bhayat indrascha vayuscha mrityur dhavati panchama. Swamiji says, this then is the panacea, the medicine for all the evils of the society and our life. We will read the experience of Swami Vivekananda, how practicing this consciousness, I am the Atman, and how he had the experience of this in his life. Thus sang a Vedantin, I never had fear, nor do I death. Death never comes to me. I have no father, no mother. I am existence, knowledge, and bliss absolute. That is the remedy for all disease, the nectar that cures all disease and death. Here we are in this world and our nature rebels against it. But let us repeat, I am it, I am it. I have no fear, no doubt, no death. What creed can I have? What sect I can have? I am the infinite Atman. However much the body rebels, however much the mind may rebel, in the midst of uttermost darkness, in the midst of agonizing tortures, in the uttermost despair, repeat this Atman message once, twice, thrice and evermore. Light will come gently, slowly, but surely it comes. Many a times I have been in the jaws of death, starving, footsore and weary. For days and days I had no food,
and often I could walk no farther. I would sink down under a tree and life would seem to be ebbing away. I could not speak, I could scarcely think, but at last the mind would revert to the idea, I have no fear nor death, I have no hunger nor thirst, I am it, Chidananda Rupa Shivoham, Chidananda Rupa Shivoham. The whole of nature cannot crush me, it is my servant. Assert the strength, O Lord of Lords and God of Gods. Regain thy lost empire, arise, awake, and walk, and stop not. And I would rise invigorated, and here I am today living in front of you. This is the message Swamiji proclaimed in the Western platforms. Thus, whenever darkness comes, assert the reality, and everything adverse will vanish. For after all, they are but Maya, a dream. Mountain high though the difficulties may seem, terrible and gloomy though the situations may seem, they are but Maya. Fear not, it is banished. Crush it, it vanishes. Stamp upon it, it dies. Think not how many times you have failed. Never mind. The time is infinite before the infinite nature of yours. Go forward, assert yourself again and again, and light must come. You may pray to everyone that is born, every god that has been invented. But what is the way out of this death, from which no one knows the escape? Help thyself out of thyself. Help thyself by thyself. None else can help you, my friend, for you are alone your greatest enemy and friend. Swamiji says, this nectar must be first heard of, thought upon, and meditated upon. Slowly the light comes, and the splendorous light of the sun will fill all our life with the glorious vision of Vedanta. Hey Sakhi, therefore fill the cup of my heart with the wine of thy love, the Vedantic message. Let us get drunk and go mad and dance in joy in the ecstatic vision of the Atman, the immortal soul. So this is the message that we get from Ramakrishna Vivekananda Vedanta literature. This is the message for the modern world, especially to the youngsters as they face this world. So this beautiful gift of Swami Vivekananda, you are the Atman. That message we have to carry in our mind constantly. If we are the Atman, then freedom is ours, joy is ours, infinite strength and power is ours. Slowly as we go on asserting it, the dehypnotizing process takes place and we find we are one with God. Aham Brahmasmi, the knowledge dawns, and with the knowledge arising in our mind, we will find it is the same Atman inside all. So the world, instead of being a ghastly battlefield of brutes, becomes a paradise in which angels live. This is the last session. I express my hearty feeling and warmth to revered Swami Tattva Rupanandaji for giving this opportunity for last 7 days. What you heard or not, I don't know, but I have been thinking about it day and night, and I am enjoying the satsang of these Vedantic ideas with Thakur Maswamiji. I express my gratitude and pranam to revered Tattva Rupanandaji Maharaj, and also hearty wishes and prayers to you, because if there were no audience, I could not have had the satsanga. Jai Ramakrishna, Jai Ma, Jai Swamiji.